I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Naiposha Gardens in Limuru in Kenya. And we want to focus on foreign aid. For a long time, foreign aid has dominated conversations in Africa, grounded on the assumption that the solution to African problems will be through foreign aid. But it's important to break down what is referred to as foreign aid and what its components are. There are grants which it is assumed to be given free of any conditionalities. And the question is, even when they are so styled, are they ever free of conditionalities? Below the grants, there are loans which are given at different levels. There are loans that are given to cover areas such as infrastructure or budget support, and these can be bilateral. And you find quite a number of countries are the beneficiaries of this. Below that, there are loans that are given which are commercial. And below that, you find the issuance of papers such as the Eurobond, for example, which are issued by the countries, particularly in European countries, as a basis for raising funds. The question is, and is a question that is alive in many African countries, why is it that after so many years of foreign aid, after so many years of grants, after so many years of all these efforts, the continent still finds herself saddled with foreign aid and foreign debt to the extent that in a number of countries, even certain national assets such as airports and ports are under threat? The truth is that those who structure these grants, those who structure the aid, structure them in a manner that is designed to ensure that African countries are in debt in perpetuity. Zambia's Dambisa Moyo has written a book which is considered to be iconic in this regard. In her book, Dead Aid, what she attempts to do is to demonstrate that as long as African countries depend on aid, however styled, they are not going to realize their potential. And she goes out of her way to demonstrate that the architecture that has been created, the financial economic architecture that has been created by these lenders, is designed in such a way that the countries which borrow from them are held under hostage. And the tragedy is that many of these countries or their leaders don't know or don't care, because there's been no shortage of research, no shortage of individuals and institutions which have tried to scrutinize the debt burden vis-a-vis the ability of these countries to pay. Let us break them down. The most popular form of aid is the aid that is given for infrastructural development and which are normally time-bound. This kind of aid is very attractive to many African politicians because it allows them to make the claim during the electoral process that we have brought development. So they are quick to point to the roads, they are quick to point to the airports, they are quick to point to the ports, they are quick to point to the stadia, they are quick to point to all these things. But when one looks at the cost-benefit analysis, one then questions whether these are actually doing the thing that they are supposed to do. Because if you look at infrastructure, for example, some of the critical infrastructure that many African countries are borrowed for are the railways or the cross-border roads. And when the countries engage in this kind of lending or this kind of borrowing, and the lending is pegged on foreign currency which they do not control, invariably the lending is dollar denominated or euro denominated, and then they are supposed to pay them on the basis of taxes that are collected from their countries. And history and evidence suggest to us that many countries discover that in order to pay these loans, then they have to devalue their currencies. And when they devalue their currencies, their ability to pay is therefore undermined, and they continue to be in this debt trap, and they continue to be under the control and manipulation of these foreign institutions, which are very active and whose banks are really controlled on the basis of commercial diktats. The second type of loans that we have seen being advanced to many African countries is budget support. And this budget support is informed by the realization, particularly by the political class, that in order to balance their books, in order to meet the domestic debt, in order to pay salaries, in order to go into social investments such as education and health, sometimes it is not possible to raise sufficient taxes because the tax base in many of these African countries is also very low and very thin, with the consequence that they cannot raise sufficient taxes to support the budget system. And these will invariably be short-term loans at very high interest. And this is the kind of loans for which the IMF and the World Bank are very, very well known, because they then control the departments of finance, or they control the ministries of finance and treasuries of African countries, with the consequence, once again, that they lend them advisory services. And this in and of itself creates an environment where there is indebtedness in perpetuity. The third kind of donor support or donor aid are the grants. And many of these grants are styled as if it was not the case that they would be paid. And what invariably happens with some of these grants is that they come attached. They come attached. If they are in the agricultural sector, you'll be told, we'll give you experts in agriculture. If it is in the mining sector, they come with experts in the mining sector. If it is health, they come with experts in the health sector. The net effect is that you find that you have a grant of $100 million, but 50% of it goes back with the experts, and nothing really happens in terms of changing people's lives. These, again, are seen sometimes in the bilateral relationships that are created thereby. And as the saying goes, he who pays the piper calls the tunes. And this is what these fellows who pay the piper do on a daily basis in many African countries. There are also other loans that African countries borrow by floating their bonds in different markets. It has become very popular now, for example, to go into the European market and float an infrastructure bond. And when you do this under the euro bond, it is time bound. The loans are of a commercial nature, and a number of countries have even given their national assets as collateral. And these are very dangerous, because quite a number of institutions, or quite a number of these collaterals which are given on the basis of national assets, are then exposed to the possibility of being taken over by these institutions to run them in order to raise the funds that had been advanced to the countries. And we have seen this in quite a number of countries where ports have been given. We have seen this in a number of countries, mines being given. We have seen countries where their natural resources are mortgaged for several years, so that money is advanced on the understanding that oil will be extracted or some kind of minerals will be extracted. And all of these only boil down to one thing, that it creates economic slavery. It creates economic slavery because you then cease to control your affairs. And it also is a danger to the stability of many countries, because the prescription that many of these institutions make is simple. If you want to pay our money, then you have to tax your population. And you don't not only have to tax your population, but you also have to spread the tax base. We have seen it in a number of countries where countries hold the view that they can tax themselves out of debt and tax themselves into prosperity. And that is a mirage. It is a chimera, which even if you chase, you never find. The net effect, as I've already said, almost ad nauseum, is that you now find countries taxing even basic commodities, countries taxing bread, countries taxing airtime in mobile telephony, countries taxing small businesses, countries taxing everybody because they have to raise these taxes. And this in itself is therefore a danger, because it leads to dissatisfaction, it leads to unrest, and that is something that is completely undesirable. What is it that African countries have tried to do? I've seen a number of countries, and the Ghanaian president, Nana Akufo-Addo, is remembered several years ago of saying that we must think of Ghana beyond aid. And when he said that, quite a number of countries were also aping and copying that and saying that we must think of Africa beyond aid, because aid is not sustainable. But how do you get out of debt? How do you get out of the aid scheme? How do you get out of this trap? The only way to get out of this trap is to ensure that the domestic manufacturing sector is created, to ensure that the domestic mining sector is strengthened, to ensure that the domestic agricultural sector is strengthened, to ensure that you are taxing companies which are foreign-based in a manner that is going to generate funds. You know, what happens in a number of African countries, and which I've never understood well, is to say, we are giving you tax holidays for 20 years. So you have tax holidays for 20 years, and you are taking away people's gold, you are taking away people's cobalt, and most of this money is then taken out of African countries' jurisdiction. And if you ever doubted that, the late president of Tanzania, the late John Joseph Pombe Magufuli, upon entering into the leadership, discovered that a gold mining company which was based in Tanzania, I think it was from Australia, had been mining gold and not paying tax for 14 years. And for that reason, the country was losing both the gold and the money. And yet you are borrowing in order to ensure that you deal with the health sector and the education sector, particularly the health sector, which is aggravated by this kind of intervention, which is improper mining practices. Countries will not borrow, but countries must borrow responsibly. They must borrow in a manner that is designed to ensure that the borrowed money is utilized for the benefit of the people. But if borrowing is not properly structured, if borrowing is not properly controlled, then as Dambisa Moyo has rightly stated in her book, Dead Aid, what is going to happen is that you are going to borrow money that is going to ensure that you are in an economic coffin, and you'll be buried with it, and the people will suffer as a result of it, because aid, however structured, is dangerous, holding all factors constant. We are here at Naiposha Gardens in Limuru in Kenya, and we will come back again. Goodbye for the moment. The conversation continues.